We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. He is holy, 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 and worthy of all praise. If you've got your Bibles this morning, we're going to do a lot of reading. We're going to do a lot of reading, but it all makes one big major point. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of John. Book of John. You know, it's amazing to think that one of Jesus's first miracle was at a wedding. The wedding there in Cana. You know, when you go back and you're reading Genesis, when God is creating everything and ordering everything the way He desires it, before the fall of chapter 3, when the serpent, the enemy, the devil, before sin, the disobedience entered the picture, Genesis chapter 2, over in 24, talks about how man is to leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two would become one. Marriage truly is God's plan. It's God's perfect plan for a one man and one woman to be together forever. That was God's perfect plan. And we know that was ordained before the fall there in chapter 3. And it's interesting when you see that, and then you see his son come to this earth, and his very first public miracle was at a wedding. God is about that union. God is all about those two becoming one. God is all about that leaving and cleaving. God is all about that commitment. He is all about making that special. We know, as you read there in Ephesians chapter 5, we have that picture of as Christ loved the church, husband, love your wife, as sacrificially pouring your heart out and being willing to give everything. That's what Jesus did. The whole marriage concept is so, you cannot separate marriage from the church, and you cannot separate marriage from the Word. Marriage is fully a God plan. It is not a human institution. It is not a man idea. The whole concept, even the ceremony itself, God ordained because Jesus showed up. And here in John chapter 2, he didn't just show up, but he straight up showed out. And there's one line that's in there, and we're going to chase some other verses that gives the backdrop for why we get that line. Turn to John chapter 2, and here's the story. Beginning in verse 1, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. So it's a serious thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a special thing. It's a God-honoring thing. Jesus and his disciples. Here's the deal. Jesus ain't going to show up to something that ain't good. He shows up. And when the wine ran out, verse 3, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And right in here is the conversation that we sort of are going to lean on this morning. Mary, you got to realize Jesus' public ministry started at around age 30, okay? So up until age 30, we don't get a lot of information. We're going to look at what we do get, but we don't get a lot of information. But here gives us some insight into what Mary knew that teaches us really all we need to know. Because Mary was the mother of Jesus, and Mary had watched Jesus just like all of you. We start, some of them like Toby and them, bringing in them little bitty guys. Them little bitty guys are growing up to be little bigger guys, and then they get to be bigger guys, and then they big old guys, and then you give them away in marriage, and they go off, and they do, and that's the journey, and that's the process. And Mary had watched her baby boy Jesus the whole time. Mary was there, Jesus was there, the disciples was there, mom and she was there. And she says this, she looks over at him. She says, "I ain't got no wine." Yesterday an army worked, and it was like, "Hey, do this, do this, do this." You can only imagine how many, this whole concept, the whole idea, we can only assume. This isn't the first time Mary done took Jesus to the wedding or an event. This probably ain't the first time she's ever looked over at him and said, "Hey, they need wine." And that's all she's got to say. They need wine. Or "Hey, they need chairs put up." Or, "Hey, the floor needs sweeping." Or, "Hey, get the trash." Or, "Hey, we out of tea." Or, "Hey, we need this." "Hey, we just need it." That's all we are given. "Hey, they're out of wine." Notice what Jesus says, like any kid. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour is not yet come yet." And this very next verse can only make you think that she still, and I say this in with great honor and great respect and great respect for what I'm saying, but she's still mama. You know how you treat mama? Some of you know how you treat mama. Any boys got mamas in here? You know that mama and boy relationship is like, mama girl is one thing, but mama boy is a little different. He looks at her and he gives her a little lip. That ain't none of my business. That ain't none of my business. What's that got to do with me? You can only assume she's heard that time and time and time again. Probably when he's around, I don't know, 29 or 28 or 27 or 26 or all the way down through there. They done showed up at something, at an event, and she's like, "Hey," and he's like, "None of my business." She's like, notice what she says. And his mother said to his servants, "Whatever he says do, just do it. Whatever he says do, just do it. Been here before, been down this road before. Look, I know something big's about to happen. You just do whatever that boy says." He got a limp on him, but you better listen to him, because I've seen it before, and something big's about to happen. Church, this morning we need to listen to what Mary says. Do what he says do. Just look, don't question it. We've got too much going on. We're busy. Just do what he says do. Because here is an eyewitness who's probably seen him work miracle after miracle after miracle before some amazing things happen. Scripture is not exhaustive. At the end of the book of John, don't turn, just literally listen. This is the disciple who testified to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that were written. Don't think we have everything Jesus was doing. There's something been going on between day 8, 12 years old, and right here. There's a lot been happening. And what Mary says right here, "Hey, look, they're running out of wine." He gives a lip. He's like, "Ain't none of my business." She's like, "Whatever. Do whatever he says do." And I can just see her take it off, going to get to work. And watch what happens. Now, there were six stone, verse 6, there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Not like our little gallon tea pitchers back here, whatever they are. We're talking some big old pots. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And so they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him, and the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn it knew where it came from. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man who serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely," basically got a little tipsy, "then he serves the poorer wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus, listen, the miracle Jesus did, the performance, the thing he did, he wanted the day to be special. He wanted everybody to be blown away. He wanted the bridegroom. He didn't want no panicking. He didn't want no worry. He didn't want anything because marriage is special. Nobody was leaving that wedding going to say, "Well, that was, bless their hearts." Nobody was going to leave that wedding and say, poor whoever. No, Jesus wanted it to be really, really special. Why? Because all the way back in Genesis, it was very, very special. Before the fall, it was beautiful. God had made every animal had a pal. Every animal had a helper, but it was not good for man to be alone. Man needed somebody. And God created and formed from man. He reformed woman, and he brought her to him, and she was like, "Whoa, man, there you are." That's God's design. And here Jesus' very first miracle is to make that moment precious. It seems insignificant, but when you, to us, the reader today, it seems insignificant, but in God's eyes, marriage is special. Listen, today, here's what we do. Today, we find somebody, he aggravates us, we go find somebody new. We don't get along, it didn't work out. Why'd you get married? I mean, you know he's a nut, you married him. You know she's crazy, you married her. But people get divorced for all kinds of things. I may have divorced folks in this room. And you can come up to me later and give me all these excuses, but God ain't a fan. God didn't like it. There's a lot of mess. God ain't a fan of divorce. God wants one man and one woman to come together and be together forever. And if you divorce, God ain't a fan of it, period. You can rationalize it. You can say, "Yeah, bud." You can say, "Preacher, you just don't know." Here's the deal. I don't care. God ordained marriage. Sin came afterwards. Remember that. God's the center. And it ain't easy. I mean, I'm a mess to live with. She ain't in the room, and I'll tell you, I am an absolute mess to live with. She's a joy to live with. I'm a mess. She's a mess too, but I'll say that when she's in here. So why did Mary say that? Let's look and see why. Go back over to Luke. Do whatever he says do, church. That's where we're at. That's what I want you to hear this morning. Do whatever he says do. Whatever he says do, do it. How do you know what God's telling you to do? Brother Shannon, how do I know what God's telling me to do? When the Spirit of God moves you, when you start doing something, here's how it may feel. When the Spirit of God kind of nudges you, you just have this move in you that, hey, I need to do so and so. And you know you should be doing so. Or not doing something. There's acts of omission and commission. There's those sins that you do and those sins you don't do. You see? So when the Spirit of God starts moving on you and starts nudging you, and I just ought to do this, or I just ought to act this way, or I shouldn't be there, or I shouldn't be thinking this, I shouldn't be taking part of this, I shouldn't be, I know I shouldn't be, I know I should be, I just know I ought to, I just know this is what I should be doing, I just know this is what I shouldn't do. And then we go and do the opposite. And then that sickening feeling, that yuck. God was so clear, don't, and we do it. And that filthy feeling, everybody else having a party, and you're just like, "I shouldn't be here." Everybody else is laughing. You're like, "This isn't right." Everybody else is, Everybody else is gone, and you're off just lollygagging, and they come back, and you're like, whoa, and you're like, argh. That's the Spirit of God saying, hey, you, do whatever I tell you to do. It's simple. Yeah, but everybody else is doing it, but if God says don't, you don't. Yeah, but nobody's doing it like this. Yeah, but God told you to. The world's going to laugh at me. It don't matter. They're not going to understand. It don't matter. They're going to call me names. It don't matter. Do whatever he says do. Because it don't always make sense. Look at Luke chapter 2. With God, it don't always make sense. We learn that from the very beginning. Beginning verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph and the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This same Mary we talked about 30 years later that looked at the people that said, hey, do whatever he wants to says do. That's this very same Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutations this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be? When God says something, it don't have to make sense. Whatever he says go do, just go do it. Because listen, ever since he's been in my life, and here it is before he came into my life, it didn't make sense then, and it may not make sense now, but whatever he says do, you better go do it, because that's how it works with this guy. That's how God works. Mary said, how in the world can that be? Mary said, how can that be? Because I'm a virgin. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. Listen to verse 37, church. I cannot tell you the number of times on the weeks, days that I have thought to myself, and I'm just now actually quoting this verse or reading this verse, that the Lord has laid on me to say this to you, to literally say this to this room. I cannot tell you, it's been months now that I always kind of circle back to right here. Look at verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. It don't supposed to make sense. It don't supposed to look like what the world would look, want it to look. It doesn't supposed to. Yeah, but everybody else is doing it this way. It doesn't matter. With God, all things are possible. Period. That's why, look, go do what he says do. Yeah, but how? Don't question it. Just do it. Do what he says do. Notice here, and Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Make it done. Make it be done and to me according to the word, and the angel departed for him. Look over in chapter 2. Verse 21. Notice this. She's held this baby. She's walked with this baby now. She's nursed this baby. He's 8 days old. We get to 8 days now. Verse 21. And when 8 days had passed, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the days for the purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that comes, that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law and of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Listen to this. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Can you imagine? Listen to this. You're Mary. This baby wasn't supposed to happen, but he happened. You show up to, you're just, okay, we're going to do this the right way. You walk in one day and you're bringing him to the temple like everybody else has been doing, like you've heard through all the traditions, the oral traditions throughout forever and ever. This is what you're supposed to do. She walks in with her baby and notice this. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's child. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms. Can you imagine, mamas? This old man is that they've probably seen or probably heard about. There's like, this old dude, he's waiting on something big to happen. There's this old man. Every time a new mother brings a baby in 8 days, he just goes crazy. Hey, is this the one? Is this the one? And oh, here he's coming. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to carry out the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and he blessed God and said, "You are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And notice this, and his father and his mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. You wonder why 30 years later she can look and say, "Hey, look, do whatever he says do." Because his birth was unbelievable. This, they're amazed. This is unbelievable. Keep going. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed." Notice, remember Jesus was stabbed in a sword on the side. Look here. "And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess. She's Mary and Joseph sitting here getting this. They're like, "Wow, this is weird, dude. Something's going on. This baby, this just ain't a normal way of doing things." And there was a prophetess, verse 36. Anna, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple serving night and day with fastings and prayer. And that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. There's something special about this Jesus. You can only imagine the conversation that must have took place as they took the little boy home. Mary and Joseph said, "Now, this is weird, dude. I don't know how this is happening. There's something special. There's got to be something to this. This is just wild. This is just wild." Look at verse 40. "And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Look at verse 41. "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." Every year. They just did it. Every year. They went at year one. They were in year two and three and four and five. And verse 42, "And when he became 12 years old, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan. And went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him." Notice how long. Notice, this is very important. Then after 3 days, they found him. This is no short time. This is no, "Hey, the kid's playing in the clothes hangers." You know, used to when you could go into Walmart and the kids would hide under the clothes. I've been there, done that. Mine's hid around in there before. This wasn't no hiding in the clothes racks. 3 days. Can you only imagine all the times Jesus has just done some Jesus thing since before 12? After 3 days, they find him, and all who heard of it were amazed. No, then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But they didn't understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down to them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and people. We see him at birth. We see him at 8 days old. We see him at 12 years old. And we really don't see him again until he comes onto the scene at 30. And they show up at a wedding. And they walk in and things are going great. Beautiful wedding. Beautiful flowers. Everybody's dressed. Everybody's in place. Everything is perfect. Everybody's perfect. And then they run out of wine. They panic. What are we going to do? You ever panic? Have you ever said that? What am I going to do? Have you ever panicked like, holy cow, what are we going to do? You just trust him. You just do whatever that nudge is telling you to do. You do whatever that spirit inside of you is telling you to do. And the world may look at you and say, that's foolish. The world may look at you and say, there's no way you're going to pull that off. They may look at you and when the Spirit of God says, hey, I want you to do this or I don't want you to do that. I want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. I want you to say this. Don't you dare react like that. When he moves on you, you just do what he tells you to do. We're not given everything Jesus had done. There's no telling what all Mary had watched happen before. There's no telling what she saw for the next 18 years after that day in the temple when he's sitting around teaching the old men about the Word of God. There's no telling the miracles that he had performed that Scripture doesn't even speak of. John says the world itself couldn't hold all the miracles that Christ had performed. Listen, church, don't put that God in a box. Don't limit that God in your life. Don't say, I can't. Don't say there's no way. Don't say it'll never happen. Don't say that's impossible. Don't say, because with Jesus, if he's wanting you to do it, it ain't impossible. If Jesus wants it to happen, it's going to happen. You just got to get out of the way. Kind of like Mary did. She just got out of the way and said, hey, y'all, I've seen this time and time and time and time and time and time and time before. Just get out of his way and do what he says do. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for still working miracles. Thank you for still blowing our minds. Thank you for still, God, when we rebel, when we don't trust, when we worry, when we doubt, when we fear, when we don't listen to that move, your spirit screaming at us, do it this way. Screaming at us, that's not who you are. That's not what I saved you to be. You're better than that. You don't belong there. You shouldn't be doing this. That's not who you are. And that old flesh, God, forgive us. God, forgive us for not listening when he clearly tells us what to do. Go get the water pots, just pour water in them. That don't make sense. They're so big. And you know, what you going to do? Serve water? Don't question it. Just fill the pots. God, help us to not question it, but just fill the pots. Just get to moving. Just start doing. It'll all make sense when we're obedient. Thank you, God. Thank you for using us for your glory. Forgive us for the times when we hear you clearly and disobey. Thank you for continuing to speak in spite of us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.